Your world, your challenges, your faith. When faith within engages the world without, there's power. It's living life from the inside out.
Do you feel like you've been waiting a long time for something, something you believe is part of God's purposes for you? If so, you're not alone. In fact, you're following in the footsteps of some remarkable people in Scripture. Welcome to Family Life's Inside Out, where we're going to talk about just that. I'm Martha Menikas Foster, and my guest today is author and speaker Dina Dyer. Her recent Christianity Today Better Samaritan blog post is titled, Confidence in Barren Seasons, What Elizabeth Can Teach Us. Welcome back to Inside Out, Dina.
Thank you. It's great to talk to you again.
I'm looking forward to our conversation. I enjoyed talking with you before. So Dina, how do you define a barren season? And what are some barren seasons we may be able to relate to in our lives today?
Well, in my mind, a barren season is one in which our prayers don't seem to be answered. Maybe our dreams are deferred. Or we're just, well, impatiently waiting on something that's important to us. For instance, it could be maybe we're waiting on a job, we're feeling financial pressure from that. Maybe it's a season of waiting for God to bring a spouse or children into our lives, or we're longing to be healed or have someone close to us be healed. Those are just some examples.
We certainly can all relate to that. If I can add to that, parents waiting for children to come back to faith. Or
yes.
To find faith for the first time, to respond to Christ for the first time. Or you mentioned in your article, waiting for justice about something, either I would think globally or within our own sphere.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. If I could take just a moment here, if you are just joining us, you're listening to Inside Out on Family Life, and I'm talking today with author and speaker Dina Dyer. Dina, you've looked at the life of John the Baptist's mother, Elizabeth, and feel we can learn from her story of waiting. Would you remind us what she was waiting for, and what is it about her story of waiting that you find helpful for us today?
She ended up being the mother of John the Baptist, but when we first read about her, she was actually waiting for a child. Luke chapter 1 says that she and her husband Zechariah were very old, and so they'd been waiting for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And in that culture, it was seen as a curse or a disgrace, even a reason to divorce a spouse, to not be able to conceive. So not only were she and Zechariah waiting for a baby and longing for that, but their community may have wondered what they did to bring that on themselves, like a curse.
Right.
So I find it really encouraging in Elizabeth's story that Luke says she and Zechariah were righteous, obedient, and blameless before they received the miracle of John the Baptist's conception.
Yes, that's encouraging for anyone who feels like, what did I do wrong? I'm still waiting for fill in the blank. And I believe you're saying, here's an example of people who are declared godly who continue to wait. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, right. And to kind of bring the end to that story is that God does give them, as you said, John the Baptist. At the time, they just know it's the baby boy, right?
So, right.
That was a dream fulfilled, though not on the timeline that either Elizabeth or Zechariah might have first wanted when they got married.
Right, long after they expected it to be fulfilled, I'm
right.
sure.
Right. Now, in your article, Dina, you say that God understands the ache of waiting. How do we know that?
There are a lot of places in the Bible where God is seen to be waiting. And I know personally he's waited on me many times.
Mm.
Isaiah 30:18 is one of my favorite verses, and it says, "So the Lord must wait for you to come to him, so he can show you his love and compassion. For he is a faithful God. Blessed are those who wait for his help."
Mm-hmm.
You know, Martha, I've sometimes waited not in faith, but in fear, but I've also come to believe that sometimes he waits until we are desperate and drained, or weary beyond words, and all out of hope. I think he does that so that we give up on our own resources and surrender to his plans.
Mm-hmm. I know that most of us who've been part of the church for any amount of time have heard that God is waiting for us to kind of exhaust our in-chargeness and recognize our weakness and then lean on him. But I think maybe most of us have a story, I certainly do, of a time when I was thoroughly exhausted, and it was you, God, are the only one who can move forward on this. I have no more energy, emotional or physical, whatever the situation was. Only you can move forward on this, and I'm depending on you. It's one more step in my discipleship when I go from the head knowledge of that to the actual experience of coming to the end of myself, as the old saw is, I come to the end of myself and really recognize it's God who's moving forward and I'm going along with him is the best way.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. So, Dina, finally, I think most of us who follow Jesus would agree that we shouldn't let unanswered prayers separate us from God. But knowing what we should do can be very different from how we actually feel about things. So how would you encourage people listening to us right now who may feel that God seems silent? How would you encourage us not to create distance between ourselves and God during those periods?
That is a hard one, and I don't always get that right. Mm-hmm. But I would encourage them to be honest with God. He already knows how we feel, and he's merciful and kind. And I've learned over the years that he wants a relationship with us all day, every day, no matter what our mental state, our spiritual state, our physical state. You know, there's another translation of that verse I was talking about a moment ago, Isaiah 30:18, that says, he longs to be gracious to you and will rise up to show you compassion. So that's someone that we can run to even in the midst of barrenness, even in the midst of our lack of faith. He's not going to condemn us in that moment, but embrace us.
He's not going to be unkind to us in listening to our concerns. He knows what they are, and he wants us to be close even during those times. Do I have that kind of right?
Yes, yes. He wants that relationship, just a father with a child. Come to me. Tell me what you're wanting. Tell me what you're feeling. He's eager for that. Mm-hmm. That real kind of relationship with us.
Mm-hmm. And so even in those barren times, we can have that relationship, and that that sustains us.
Yeah. It's a comfort, and it's a breath. It's a breath of fresh air when we need it.
Right. Well, thank you. Thank you for writing the blog post, and thanks for joining me here today, Dina, on Inside Out.
It's been a privilege. Thank you, Martha. I really appreciate it.
I love talking to you. My guest has been author and speaker Dina Dyer, author of the book Wounded Women of the Bible. Her recent Christianity Today Better Samaritan blog post is titled Confidence in Barren Seasons, What Elizabeth Can Teach Us. I'm Martha Manikas Foster with Inside Out on Family Life.